This is the April 17th hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us today involves case numbers 291 through 350 in the 2019 PACS record of Clark County Board of Equalization's hearing records and the associated property ID numbers that go with those. Board members present by teleconference today are Lisa Bodner, Don Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office today, but we do have Alex Robinson on the line for the appellant. Alex, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
You're breaking up a little bit, Michelle. I'm not sure you heard that.
I heard it. I've raised my right hand.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony and you have given this hearing to be the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of these properties as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response what is the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. Assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And just to let you know, because of the current situation, we may be a little late on 30 days, but just 30 days after that to appeal to the state.
Understood.
So if you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. I appreciate that. I'll keep it relatively brief. Can I assume that the board has a copy of the evidence that we've submitted in connection with this appeal?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. So the subject property here are 60, what were developed is 60 separate condominium units, part of a larger condominium complex known as One Lake Place. There are 60 units under appeal, and they are, I believe, part of phase four of the development. And that's what I'll refer to as the subject property of the 60 units under appeal. These were built in 2008 originally, and as I said, they were originally designed to be condominium units. They are currently owned and operated by the taxpayer as rental apartments. At issue is the property's true and fair value for purposes of the 2019 assessment, and the petitioner is placing its reliance or is determining its value in large part on the basis of an appraisal of the subject property, the 60 units, as of April 27th, 2017. This is approximately 20 months prior to our date of value, but in petitioner's opinion, it remains highly relevant for purposes of this appeal and this assessment date. As I said, these were originally designed as condominium units. They have since been they're now currently operated as multifamily apartments. The appraisal, which has been submitted and is included within petitioner's evidence submission at P1 through P79, I believe, values these based on their use as multifamily apartments. Appraisal concluded an average rent per unit of $1,171 and a potential gross income of $913,980. This includes parking income and miscellaneous income, and you can see the detail of that at P58, I believe. The appraisal's income approach used a 5% vacancy rate for the subject property, which is pretty standard for this market. Again, for additional detail, I think you can look to P58. the operating expenses used in the appraisals income approach were based on a review of expense comparables as well as the subject property's own historical operations. That can be further detail on that can be found at P53 through P54. All things considered, the appraiser here concluded a net operating income of $494,743. This was capitalized at a rate of 6.25%. And this cap rate is based on a couple of things. First, an analysis of sales of comparable properties. The appraiser noted here that the subject property status as what is referred to as a broken condominium reduces the investment appeal of the subject property and thus raises the capitalization rate above, you know, sort of the current market levels to a slightly higher rate of 6.25. So basically acknowledging that this is, compared to the comparable subset, less desirable given its status as a broken condo. The appraiser's resulting value conclusion, so by capitalizing the NOI at that 6.25% rate, the value conclusion for these 60 units, total conclusion, works out to $7,920,000. In petitioner's opinion, this provides significant evidence of this subject property's market value, as this is an income-producing property. It is being used as such. If it were to be sold, it would be marketed as such, and this provides significant evidence, not just of the property's value as of the date of the appraisal, but also as of the January 1, 2019 assessment date. Just a quick side note, and I fully recognize that each year stands on its own, the 18 assessment was in fact reduced in a prior appeal to just about the conclusion of the appraisal, just slightly over it. It was reduced to $7,994,610. This isn't, you know, to show that you know, because 18 was reduced, 19 should be reduced as well, just that with 18 standing at just under $8 million, just under $8 million value, the 19 value as it stands on the Clark County tax rolls represents a quite a significant increase year over year. The appraisal also included a sales comparison approach to aid in determining the fair market value of the subject property. However, the appraiser noted that the subject property's standing as a broken condominium would lead a prudent investor to rely more upon the income approach in determining the overall value. So while they prepared a sales comparison approach, they placed less reliance on it overall, and petitioner has done the same in terms of its requested value. Nonetheless, I'll discuss the sales comparison approach performed by the appraiser a little bit. There were six selected comparable sales, all of which bracket the subject property in terms of age, unit count, and average square footage. Additional background on these sales can be found at P70 in petitioner's evidence submission. After adjusting for age, location, size, and condition, the appraiser concluded a range of per unit values from these sales, ranging from $131,376 a unit to $134,705 a unit. Extrapolating the average per unit value, or the concluded per unit value of $132,000 a unit, to the subject property, 60 units yields a total indicated value, again, of $7,920,000. And that conclusion can be found at petitioner's evidence page P71. So this 17 appraisal in the opinion of petitioner, continues to provide the best evidence of the subject property's true and fair value as of January 1, 2019. There is a 20-month gap between the appraisal and the valuation date, but petitioner feels it's still the best evidence of value out there, and is most indicative of what the subject property would exchange for on the open market. As such, petitioner requests a overall value of no more than the $7,920,000 for 2019, and that the individual accounts at issue be reduced to the values requested within the individual petitions, which add up, or should add up, to equal that $7,920,000 figure.
Okay. Are there any restrictions on the sale of the unit in that grouping?
Yeah. In terms of sales of individual units, are you asking could they be sold individually?
Yes.
To my knowledge, they could be sold individually, but it was the appraiser's conclusion that the highest and best use of the property was as a single economic unit of the 60 units used as apartments. I suppose the conclusion is based in large part on the fact that these were developed initially as condominiums, and the only reason that they have been converted to apartment use or this kind of multifamily rental apartment use is because that failed with respect to this phase of the development. I believe the total amount of units in this phase was 72, and the petitioner ended up retaining 60 of the 72. So clearly it wasn't for whatever reason, the condominium used for the all 72 units wasn't feasible. They ended up converting it to apartments, and again, that was concluded to be, at least as of the date of the appraisal, the highest and best use of these 60 units.
You have an on-site manager that manages just these units?
Yes, I believe so.
And is there any restrictions on the use of the whole facility? I don't know if is there a pool and all that involved in this?
When you say the whole facility, you mean the entire, 254-unit complex?
Yes.
I do not believe there are any restrictions on use with regards to these 60 units as they pertain to the entire development. Obviously, the renters don't own these units. They're retained by petitioner, so petitioner ends up paying, HOA dues on each of the units, or they build it into the lease rates. But as far as I know, the renters of the units have access to the amenities on site in terms of the whatever those amenities might be of the entire complex.
Okay. So the owner of Harrisite does pay condo dues on each one of these units?
That is my understanding, yes. Or they are built in as a part of the rent for each unit. I don't know how they ultimately determine what their lease rates are, but the petitioner does pay those HOA dues and any assessments or anything like that they deal with. They aren't passed on to the renters unless they are passed on through the actual lease that they sign initially. And I can only say that the lease rate is what it is, whatever it includes, whether it includes in the petitioner's mind and a accounting for the HOA dues that are a part of what they're responsible for, it at the end of the day, it remains just the one lease rate, and that's what was used in the appraiser's income analysis here.
And does the rest of the complex have an on-site manager?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that there is an individual manager for this, these 60 units, so I believe that would, because that notation is made, that would indicate that there is, in fact, some, you know, larger management structure for the overall complex, but given that that's not the subject of this appeal, I'm not sure I know that answer to a certainty.
All right. I have no further questions. John or Lisa?
I just have a question from kind of the standpoint that we're looking at this with no upgrade but to the value or anything, which was based back in April of 17. So that's basically 3 years ago. But in our market, rents have increased like crazy, you know, at why wasn't this updated a bit? Do you have any idea?
Well, I would say first and foremost that it's the difference in time is actually relevant to 1/1/19. So it's about half the time frame I believe you were referring to of 3 years. It's less than two. In terms of whether the rents have changed, again, I can't speak to that. All I can speak to is that this appraisal in petitioner's view remains the best evidence of market value in, you know, 18 months beyond the date or 19 months beyond the date that this appraisal was completed. It's essentially the only evidence of this income-producing property's market value that can be concluded to with any kind of degree of certainty as of 1/1/19.
Okay.
You said there was a total of 254 units in the entire complex?
Yeah, let me confirm that.
All the rest of those, with the exception of the 12 sales, are they all rental? Are they all condos?
The remainder, I believe, are all condos. Again, this was the final phase of the condo development. And my understanding and the appraiser's conclusion in the April 17 appraisal was that basically with the development of the first three phases, the condo market for this area had been saturated, and that's why these phase four units really failed to sell as condo units, and so they were converted. Again, only 60 of the 72 in this phase sold, but my understanding is that aside from these 60, the remainder of the 254 overall units are condo units, and those, the bulk of those 254 or I guess we should say 194, pulling these 60 out, the bulk of those are phases 1 through 3. Only 12 of the 194 units that are operated as condos or sold individually as condos were in this phase. So as the appraiser notes, basically the traction for condo ownership in this community ran out of steam by the time phase 4 came around, which these 60 units are part of phase 4. So the the petitioner was forced to sort of adapt on the fly and do something else with the bulk of the Phase 4 units.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
I don't have any more questions.
No, I don't have any other questions either. I think we understand it.
Very good. All right. Well, everyone stay safe. And we'll keep an eye out for the board's order.
Great. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.